Good morning. The first lesson is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 24, beginning with verse 15. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up on the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to bring an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give. These are the offerings you are to receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, and another type of durable leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them." The word of the Lord. The psalm reading is found in Psalm 104, beginning with verse 1. Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beam of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes wind his messengers, flames of fire his servants. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. The earth and it trembles. Who touches the and the smoke? I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is found in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. The word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The gospel reading is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, beginning with verse 13. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, please be seated, and let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word, which is trustworthy and true. Thank you for your purpose, all of your purposes, Lord God, because they are always good, Lord, because you are good. And just help us to hear you this morning. Help me to speak you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is, we're continuing our series here on these seven ways that we can shine the light of Jesus Christ in the world. And this week we're talking about let your light shine back to God. And this, in a lot of ways, I think this might even be the most important of the whole series, because God, everything God does, he does with a purpose. Everything he says has a purpose. Even when he asks for praise or asks for offering or asks for glory, he is completely due the glory, right? I mean, it belongs to him. He deserves it. But it's not like he's just soaking it in for himself. God is good, and so he has a good purpose even for that. And so this is just such a big deal. I mean, it's simple, but it is a really big deal to see the purpose of God in everything that he says and does. And so Jesus here in Matthew, this is our kind of core verse for today, is Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And, you know, in the Lutheran world, we talk about grace a lot. We try to stay away from works. We, try to stay away from legalism and all that kind of stuff. But good deeds are important, okay? And doing good is important. And so God's, we got to listen to what Jesus says here, because it's for a purpose. It's a very important purpose. So listen, when we do something good for somebody else that the Holy Spirit inspires us to do, here's the ideal, here's the goal, the dream, okay? That you do this, you have this event, this experience happen, and you can walk away going, wow, God, you're good. And they can walk away going, wow, look what God did for me. Not look what Jeff did for me, or look what Good Shepherd Lutheran Church did for me. You know, look what God did for me. Right? That's the dream. So let's look at the good deeds part of this stuff. Okay, that can be a little confusing, because there's scripture where Jesus says, Mark 10 here, why do you call me good? So he's having a conversation with this teacher, and you know, you're so good. Only somebody good can do what you're doing. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. And so what's confusing about that is, if Jesus tells us to do good deeds, but only God is good, then how do we do good if only God is good and can really do good? Don't get too hung up on it. Right? Because what Jesus is saying here, and I'm going to throw a little bit of language stuff at you today, probably too much. It's not that big of a deal. What I want you to know is, what's important is what it means, okay? This word in Mark that Jesus is using, agathos, it means that God is intrinsically good through and through. So the last few weeks we've said this. God isn't a little bit of anything. He is all of what he is. If he's love, he's all love. If he's good, he's all good. If he's true, he's all true, all right? So here when Jesus says God is good, he's good through and through. He's good through and through. And so when Jesus says, do good deeds, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven, that word is kalos. It means beautiful good, attractive good. So when you do beautifully, attractively good deeds, good things, people should look at that and say, I see the intrinsic through and through goodness of God in the beautiful good thing that you just did. Does that make sense? It should all come back, hopefully, it should all come back to God, and for a good reason, because God has an amazing purpose. And so today, I wanted to talk about glory. Last week, I said, we're going to talk about glory this week. I don't know if people really understand what glory is. I didn't really understand what glory was, the more I thought about it, you know? And we talk about glory, for the glory, right? But what is glory, right? It's not fame. It's not popularity. It's not status. Those are all kind of wimpy, weak you know, worldly shadows of what glory really is. You know, if you win American Idol, that's not glory, right? All those people voted for you, that's not glory, all right? Whatever NBA star, I can't even think. I had to go so far back to an NBA person that I could think of, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's how much I pay attention. That's probably why Town Hall's on Super Bowl Sunday. Anyway, it doesn't cross my mind, okay? But glory, the glory of the Lord. So in Exodus 24, Moses, you know, went up on the mountain. The cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days, the cloud covered the mountain. On the seventh day, the Lord called Moses from within the cloud, and to the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. And so, you know, this is not this cloud. This is a physical manifestation of the intrinsic goodness of God. It's a physical manifestation of the name. So when you read that, and it's capital, all caps, L-O-R-D, that's Yahweh. We see that in the psalm. It was all caps, Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh. And Yahweh's name, God tells Moses his name. He says, this is my name. I am, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And so there's this physical manifestation of God's very name. And the word glory in Hebrew is kabod. And this is the definition, a measurement of value that ascribes worth in terms of all of these things, weight, power, honor, wealth, riches, reverence, holiness, purity. So God's glory is like gravity. I mean, it's heavy, right? God's glory is power. And we look at his name from a worldly perspective, we go, oh, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He sounds like a wimp. The world says mercy is for the weak, right? But this is God. So if this is God's glory and this is his name, gracious, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, that has weight. It has gravity. It has the power of the universe behind it. Okay, so that's huge. That's a huge amount of power. And so if it's God, it can never be weak. We should never mistake God's kindness for weakness. Right? Or his gentleness for weakness. We always need to remember that he's God. And then in the midst of this, right, Moses goes up there, and God's thinking. Why does he call Moses up? Because he's thinking about Israelites, right? He's thinking about the world, really. And he says, tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You're to receive the offering from me, from everyone whose heart prompts them to give. And so here's the dynamic, right? The power of God has come and rested upon this mountain. This isn't a volcano going off. This cloud travels with them. This is the power of God that comes down into the tent of meeting. This isn't just some, you know, natural phenomenon that's happening. This is the supernatural power of God collected in one place. It's a big deal. And he says, tell them to bring me an offering. Those whose hearts, right? Everyone whose heart prompts them to give. And the people are looking at this, the power, the manifestation of the glory of God. And here's the reality. Some of the people are going to look at that and they're going to go, wow, that's awesome. It's a little scary, but I want to be there. I want to go up the mountain like Moses did. I want to be with God. I want to be there. Okay? Other people are going to look at it and they're going to go, I want to get out of here. That's too terrifying. I need to get away from that. And other people are actually going to hate it. They're going to hate the power that they see. And it all boils down to what's in their hearts. And so God says, collect an offering from those whose hearts are with me. They're with me. They want to give to me. And the things that I'm asking for, I remember there was a list of things that God asked for. There's is precious stuff mostly, precious metals, precious jewels, precious wood, precious oil, things like that. But the one that always caught my attention was goat hair. Why? Well, just about anybody could come up with goat hair. See, it's still sacrificial. And let's face it, a sacrificial offering is a very important thing to God, because he sacrificed his son to have us, you know? But it's not like he's collecting all this stuff and making a big pile and sitting on it like the dragon in The Hobbit. He has a purpose. Bring me all this precious stuff, including the goat hair, which is useful and good. So that why? Then they have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Isn't that what that's his heart? Can you see that that's the heart of God? That he wants to dwell with you and be with you? That every offering from us or from him is about us spending time together and being one with each other. He does that. That's the glory of God. That's the glory of God, right? And that is amazingly powerful. So in Matthew, in our core verse, and I always have to think of baptisms when we hear that verse, right? Because we do baptism and then you light a candle. And we say, let your light so shine, even to a little baby, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And so there's this aspect of God getting the glory, right? And what's that glory? That glory is doxososin, I'm sorry, it's all the Greek stuff, from doxadu. The reason I brought up the Greek in this time is because it might look familiar. The word doxazo, doxologies, yeah, it's see a couple of mouths. The doxology. We sing the doxology sometimes, right? What is it? Praise God from whom all blessings, to whom all blessings, from whom all blessings, praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, you heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So that's glory. Glorify God is what that means. Glorify God. And the word Jesus uses is so cool because, you know, this season we're in, it's hope then, hope now, hope forever. That's the same idea of that word. It's from a form that says, glorify God then, glorify God now, glorify God forever. Why? There's a purpose. Because when the light of God is revealed in these good deeds that the Holy Spirit has inspired us to do, that the Holy Spirit has empowered us to do, that God has built a plan for us to do, then God is glorified. This light shines. The light shines back to God, and we can go, wow, look, God, what you did. And they can go, wow, look, God, what you did for me. And there's a meeting that happens. A meeting that happens. And there's no place in history, in all time, in anywhere where the glory of God is more revealed than in the cross of Jesus Christ. Paul wrote, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. And I always think about this story from Exodus about the cloud on the mountain. You think about the transfiguration, but I always think of the cross and this. There was a physical manifestation of the power of God on the cross. You know, the world looked at the Savior, the Son of God, the living God, on the cross, giving his life, and they said, oh, they mocked him. Oh, if you're so big and strong, get yourself down from there. If you're God, call upon angels that get you down from there. And he took it. He just took it. And then from noon until 3 in the afternoon, the Bible says that the sky went dark. And it wasn't an eclipse, because an eclipse would never last that long. There was no record of a storm or anything like that. The sky went dark because all the sin of the world from all time was being absorbed by Jesus Christ, our Savior, on the cross. And people watched as he did that. And one of them, a centurion, even said, "This man truly is the Son of God," right? That's the glory of God. It's like, it's his plan. Why? So that I may dwell with them. So that I may dwell with them. Christ crucified, ultimate glory of God. How do we do it? These good deeds, how do we glorify God? It starts with an amen, right? Paul, we heard this in 2 Corinthians. Paul writes, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." So whatever God has promised, yes in Christ. He says yes. God says yes. And God has made them, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. So what's the amen? Amen means truly, or so be it. So when Jesus says, "Amen, amen, lego amen, truly, truly, I say unto you," that's amen. When we say amen at the end of a prayer, say the Lord's Prayer, right, any kind of prayer, we say amen, we say, that's the truth. So be it. So be it. It is. Right? And so when the Holy Spirit inspires us, the Holy Spirit compels us, the Holy Spirit drives us and moves us, puts us into these situations, we get this gut check. And there's a Greek word, splagnitzomai. Anyway, it makes me feel like I'm going to throw up when I say it, so that's why I think of it. But you get this gut check, and that's the Holy Spirit. And we go, oh, this is God. Amen. So be it. Let's do it. Amen. So be it. Let's do it. Then the God thing happens, and it's very important for us to remember to give that glory to God. When the thing happens, so yesterday, like I got the report, we had like 168 or something people that got served, got fed yesterday. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah, thanks Utah Food Bank. Thank you volunteers. Glory to God. Because God touched people yesterday, right? I had a story this morning, you know, this guy gave this little, took the food from yesterday, had extra, took it to an event. There was a little kid there. He made him hot chocolate. The kid had never tasted hot chocolate before. His mom said, "We could never afford that stuff. Really, this is mine, I can have it?" Yeah, God gave it to you. But glory to God. I mean, it's such a simple thing, but we have to give it the amen, don't we? Say, yes, amen, this is God at work, and this is God's stuff. He empowers us. He puts the seal of ownership on us. 2 Corinthians, again, now it is God who makes us, who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Who does the real power? Who does the real work? God. He puts us in the right place at the right time with the right people. If we pay attention, we say amen, and something happens, we need to be sure that it goes back to God. We don't want to share his glory with anybody. He doesn't allow that to happen, actually. Isaiah 42:8 says, "I'm the Lord. That's my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols." Why? Because of his purpose. Not because he's selfish in any way at all. But if he yielded his praise or his glory to somebody else who doesn't care about you, or a false god that doesn't even think, that doesn't lead to you dwelling with him. So he won't share his praise or his glory with another because he cares about you. Because he's a selfless God, intrinsically good through and through. So we need to learn that skill. And sometimes the Holy Spirit moves us spontaneously, and sometimes it's planned, right? Something planned would be like Operation Thanksgiving Dinner. We went on a prayer walk, the Holy Spirit spoke to us, said, "Feed these kids." Now for 2 years, we've been feeding the kids. We got to make sure that God gets the glory for that, and not the church, because we don't want to turn anything into an idol. If we take the glory or the church takes the glory, then it becomes an idol. I won't yield my praise to an idol. We don't want to do that. And I got to be honest with you, you know, I have a tendency to brag about this church. And it's really tricky to start saying, you know, I love my church so much because we do this and this and this and all this is going on, this and this, and change it to say, I love that God has put this church here for such a time as this. He put these people here for such a time as this, so that he could touch all of these things and radically transform lives and show his goodness. You know, it's a different conversation, isn't it? So if you're in, you know, this maybe have happened to you. Once in a while, I'm in line at the supermarket, and the person in front of me can't afford all of their groceries. And the Holy Spirit does one of those, right? And you say, okay, well, let me get that. Let me get that for you. And they're going to want to thank you. And does it feel good to be thanked? And that's okay. But you can still feel good and say, hey, you know what, my friend? God put me in the line behind you. God showed me the need. God gave me a little extra this month just so I could help you. Don't thank me, thank God. The connection's different that way, isn't it? That's the challenge. That's my challenge for us this week. We'll just end with this verse. This is, so therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And Paul ends that chapter there, that they may be saved. He has a purpose, he has a plan, he has the power, and he put you here for such a time as this. Say amen, but let him have the glory, for I will dwell with them. All right? Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you for your love. Thank you for your plan. Thank you for your purpose. Thank you for your power. To you be all glory and honor and praise and dominion in Jesus' name. Amen.